Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let me ask you guys a question, because Matt Schaefer, are you surprised that, now granted, 22 points in 17 games before getting hurt, okay, there's no denying what he did when he was in the lineup, okay? Still, are you surprised that he is the consensus number one in a year where he played 17 games prior to getting hurt and Michael Misa was scoring at a, what, 2 point per game clip or just around there all season for the most part? Is that surprising to you? I mean, 17 games, it is a small portion of the season. It's not like he played 45 and then was hurt for 30 or – that's a lot of the season to miss to be a consensus number one.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen more rankings put Misa first and turn this into more of a debate. I think there's a couple out there I've seen that have, but very few and far between. So, yeah, I guess I am a little surprised because, like, we talked, this is probably like a month or two ago at this point about. Or, yeah, maybe about a month ago, about some of these guys. And that was when I posed the question of, you know, if the Bruins get the number one pick, what do you do? And at the time, I was thinking, again, based off rankings, like, yeah, Schaefer's the clear number one guy. And then the more I dove into it and, like, did more of my own research, not to sound like that guy, but...
his conspiracy.
Yeah. But like dove into the video myself and wasn't just depending on what other people wrote about them. It's like, I don't really see why Misa should be like a clear, like, I don't see why there should be much of a gap there. Like how you actually rank them is, listen, if you still want to put Schaefer first, like that's fine. He is impressive. If you watch some of like his play in international tournaments, it's, you know, he was Canada's best player in World Juniors until he got hurt this year. I know that was only four periods, so it's a small sample, but like the first game, it was like he was clearly the best player on the ice. Now, Misa got left off that team controversially.
So he didn't have a chance to be the best player on the ice.
Right. along with some other players, by the way, like that Jake O'Brien wasn't on that team either. Like there were a lot of questionable decisions, and Canada suffered as a result. But yeah, I don't know. Like everything I see from Misa, I'm like, what's the reason I'm not considering him first overall again? He's really impressive.
If the Bruins were to come up with they have an 8.5% chance where they currently are to pick first overall, like it kind of seems like it would be a mistake for them to take Schaefer over Misa. If they were to, that's not how it played out in our tankathon experiment today, but if they were to get first overall, it seems like Misa should be the guy they go with.
I couldn't agree more. I've been saying this for a while, I understand the pros to drafting Matt Schaefer, and he's going to be an incredible prospect, going to be an incredible NHL player. And yes, he would have the ability to sooner than later, potentially as soon as next year, but maybe the year after, be the Bruins power play quarterback. And he's your left defenseman for the next 15 years and potentially is your number one defenseman over Charlie McAvoy. If you're a if you're number one defenseman over Charlie McAvoy, you're a pretty good player, right? So like those are the possibilities of drafting a player like that. I just think that it's tougher to find a first line center than it is to find a top left defenseman. You find Hampel Sindholm. Has anybody been saying he's not a good enough top left defenseman? Like you found him in a trade midway through his career. Like, yes, it can happen at center too. It's much more difficult. And so from the Bruins' perspective, first of all, Mises, he's lights out. I don't know why he wasn't on that Canadian World Junior roster. I know there's a lot of Canadian fans that were pissed about the roster construction. Canada didn't do well in that tournament. But I have been watching Misa and for a while, and to me it's a no-brainer. So when you look at, and that's not to disrespect Schaefer. I mean, it's just to me, I think most of the time in professional sport drafts, I do think most of the time you just go with the best player available. I really do believe that. I do think that there are some exceptions. And I think when your center position, I know the Bruins have Matt Patra and they have Frazier Mitton as young center prospects, but let's be honest, guys, those are not number one center prospects. Matt Patra is not a number one center of the future. So the Bruins, and they don't, and even their NHL centers right now, you talk about Lindholm and Zach or whomever, it's like, these aren't true number one guys. So if the Bruins have a chance to get a guy like that, you have to do it. And the way I look at it, they have a 17% chance of potentially getting Misa. I know that's kind of like silly math, but there's a 17% chance that they pick first or second. So half that's if they pick first, I think they should take Misa. If they pick second, there's a damn good chance that whoever picks first takes Schaefer, and then they're left with Misa. So, you know, I'll take those odds. I'll take those odds.
Yeah, and you know, now I will say that the one counter is if the Bruins or any team goes through this whole process and they come out of it and say, oh, we do have Schaefer ranked clearly ahead of Misa. Like, we do see a gap there. If you see a gap, then to me, you should take Schaefer. Like if you think like this guy's going to be a Norris Trophy winner and Misa's going to be a good, not great number one center, then fine. Then go ahead and take Schaefer. Like, I think that's absolutely justified. But if you come to the conclusion that they're really close, which is where I'm at now, then yeah, I'm with Brian. Like, you take the center because you need it more and they're harder to come across.
Yeah.
And even if there is a gap, and if there's a gap, like my tune might change a little bit if there's that much of a gap. Again, I haven't seen that. But even if there was a bit of a gap, I still have the question of, okay, so you got that Norris guy, and that's great. Like, that's amazing. Okay, but who's your number one center of the future? And how are you getting it? Do you plan on drafting it in the top 10? I don't think you plan on ever drafting in the top 10. Are you gonna make that hockey trade that nobody knows of? Maybe it's just tough. Is that guy going to be available in free agency? We all know most number one centers don't become available in free agency unless they're in their mid-30s or something. So it's just now it's like, okay, you have that potential Norris Trophy guy of the future. That's awesome. Love it. But I still have the big, 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 bold question mark of, okay, so then how are we going to get that guy?
Yeah,
and I just think that drafting that center, that question mark just kind of fades a little bit. Even if he's a good, not great number one center, it's better than not having one.
Yeah, and it just feels like the conversation has been, in the philosophy so far has been like, take a bunch of swings at centers and hope one of them pans out. Like, that's why they got Frazier Mitton. That's why, you know, they allowed Matt Patra to come up through the system and give them a chance out of camp and see what they had. And that's why they went out and got Pavel Zacha before Bergeron and Krejci left. And we're hoping maybe he could be an option there. But so they've taken a lot of swings, but I don't think that they have that guy still that could be the number one center of the future. Even though Elias Lindholm was signed to an extended contract, even his contract isn't what you would pay, like isn't as high as what you would pay a number one center. And you do need to have some guys starting to come up from within for cap reasons, because you know, getting a rookie on your cap is much different than adding a number one center at market value. It seems like to me it would be a missed opportunity. It would be something that the Don Sweeney drafting hatred crew would just latch right onto. And not saying that's why anybody should ever make a decision, but I would see their point. And it would be tough to not take Misa if you were at one or two. And I wanted to throw this back up here just for 1 second, because I want people to just realize they're probably not picking third or fourth. If you look at the numbers there, like not even physically possible for them to draft fourth and third. We're not even sure if that 0.3 is correct. So we're not sure they really even have.
There's like, it's like a very small chance where I think it involves like Detroit moving up to two because they can't go to one or something. Like, I don't know. There's some very, very minute possibility.
So what I'm saying is basically the Bruins will not be drafting third or fourth. Like that's pretty much off the table. So they're either drafting one or two, or that range from fifth to seventh.
And I would be willing to bet that obviously Matt Schaefer, a defenseman, and Porter Martone, a winger, they're gonna go in the top four. I mean, I could see Martone, I could see him dropping. I could, because I could see teams valuing center. But
well, and there's questions about his skating. Like that's a real question mark.
There is. But to Bridges' point about not being able to draft third or fourth, there's a solid chance. Let's say solid chance that Martone is one of those picks at 3 and 4. So when you're talking about the Bruins picking in the top seven and you have five centers available in the top seven, Misa, Frondell, Higgins, O'Brien, Denoyer. And then McQueen's further down and Carter Bear. But when you consider that the Bruins aren't picking lower than seventh, you know Schaefer's going in the top seven. So now you got five centers for six picks. You know Martone's gonna go. He's gonna go in the top seven. Someone's gonna take him in the top seven. Maybe it's the Bruins. But my point is, even if the Bruins don't get the opportunity to draft Michael Misa, okay, Frondell, Higgins, O'Brien, Denoyer, chances are one of those will be walking across the podium in a Boston Bruins jersey. And to have that prospect in the system, massive for the Bruins. Even if the guy ends up being a 2C, a very good 2C, and maybe even an elite 2C, okay, you need that guy. You need that guy. So the good news here is that whoever they select is going to be and again, I've said this to you guys off the record, but if they draft Martone, I'm going to have a bad feeling in my gut just because it's no disrespect to the player. Scott just mentioned his skating isn't – you could say he probably is one of the worst skaters of these – probably the worst skater of these top 10 prospects. And furthermore – yeah, the Bruins could use wings, but we just know that they need center more. You can buy wings in free agency. You can trade for them more easily. So if they were to take, I'd be okay coming out of this draft with anybody besides Martone. And that's strictly based on like, that means that they pass on one of these centers that I just feel like they desperately need.
That was actually going to be my next question, because we're like late on time. But the last thing I wanted to finish was, is there anybody in the nine guys that we have put up here today that you just would not want the Bruins to take? And Brian says Porter Martone, who we picked in the top three on here for someone else.
Well, it depends. If they're picking seventh and Misa, Frondell, Higgins, O'Brien, Denoyer are all gone, right? And it's between Martone and McQueen or Carter Bear up front. No, I'm not going to hate that pick. But I guess it just depends how far they slide and who goes before. But if they take Martone, and again, I know there's a lot of people out there who love Porter Martone. I think he's going to be a great, great power forward. This has nothing to do with my lack of confidence in his ability to be a good NHL player. This is me, and hand to the sky here. This is me favoring need. And so I just know that if the Bruins take Martone, chances are that means that they're passing on probably one of O'Brien or Desnoyer or hell, maybe even Higgins. Like, you never know. And I wouldn't like that.
Scott, yeah. Is there any center you think that you would be upset if they took at, say, they're drafting fifth, sixth, or seventh?
Yeah, I mean, we touched on it, but McQueen. I'm not very high on McQueen. And that, you know, so if people look at, like, the big board I post on WEI.com, that's kind of the point of it. You know, I had McQueen eighth, which means he's outside my Bruins pick range. So, yeah, I would take Martone over him if it came to that. But I'm with Brian. I would take any of those other centers over Martone. And I do want to make clear, like, I really like Porter Martone. Like, yes, there's questions about his skating. You'd like to see more pull away speed, but he protects the puck well. He plays physical. He's a really good playmaker, which is not always something people associate with power forward when they hear that term. Like, he's got the size. He's 6'3", 208, I think. But he has, like, legit vision and passing skill with the puck on his stick. And he's a good stick handler, too. So there's a lot to like there. I like the centers more, and I think they make more sense for the Bruins other than McQueen, who I'm down on. But, you know, so that's the pick for me because, Bridget, as you outlined, like, there are rankings that have McQueen in the top five or six that have him ahead of Frundell or Desnoyer or O'Brien. So, like,
they had that have Frundell at 10 to 12.
Right. So, like we're grouping these guys together and, like, we're putting a gap there between the rest of those centers and McQueen. But there are definitely going to be teams that do not have a gap there and might even have McQueen ahead of those guys. And so, if the Bruins end up being one of those teams and they dress, like, if they draft McQueen fifth and Desnoyer and O'Brien are sitting there, like, I'm going to have concerns about that, and I will say as much if and when that happens.
Yeah, if the Bruins' need for a center wasn't so desperate, then I'd be sitting here saying, yeah, you know, take Martone, whatever. He's going to be a great NHL player. Most teams don't enter the draft in the top 10 with such a clear need. Where it gets real interesting for me, real interesting, is if Boston ends up picking second.
And whoever, bring this up.
And whoever picks first takes Misa. Now you got Matt Schaefer on the board who, like I said, that's a position where you can find a left shot defenseman in other ways. And, you know, you can find wingers in other ways. It's tough to find that center, but this is now where that gap that Scott refers to, I do think, would come into play for me, where I'd say, okay, do I want to draft Matthew Schaefer second, or Anton Frundell, or, you know, James Higgins, or whomever? In this situation, well, Brian, their need for center is so strong. Yeah, I know, that's why it's a tough call. But I would hate to be the idiot who passed on a future Norris Trophy winner for, you know, like, Frundell or Higgins. I just think Misa is the distinction here is, like, I don't find that gap between Misa and Schaefer, at least as of right now. I think I've said this before. I think Michael Misa is just as good at his position as Matthew Schaefer is at his. But if Misa goes first and the Bruins are picking second, okay, I think in this situation, I would probably, you know, have to go Schaefer here, despite how badly I want that center.
Picking second if Misa's already off the board is very interesting to me because it becomes like a polarizing pick because there's still going to be half of the camp of fans that wants just a center and to go for need and the other half, like, there will be a split. However, I think you can't go wrong at two if you do either because Schaefer, it's like, okay, that's an obvious great player. And then a center is fitting an obvious need. So it's a big difference in what you're choosing. But also I feel like you, no matter who you go with there, if it's the top center left that you really like, that's good. If it's Schaefer, that's good too. Like it's still not as big of a conundrum as people might think because I think you get a good player there either way. You get a player that you should be happy.
Well,
I mean, no matter who they pick at two, you should be happy because you're not picking seventh. That's how I look at it.
I would push back against the idea that you can't go wrong. You can go wrong. If Matthew Schaefer is a Norris contender year in, year out, and you took Frundell or Higgins over him and they top out as a number two center, you went wrong. Like Frundell or Higgins might turn out to be a good player, but if you
looking back, like I'm talking about like as of the day of, like there's
arguments. Yeah, I guess I'm saying like that's why
we have a crystal ball that we know that Schaefer's going to do well and the others aren't.
Well, that's why I would take Schaefer though, because he has that like elite, real high end upside, and like Frundell and Higgins might like. Either one of them being a star number one center is not out of the question. I just think they're less likely to get close to that elite ceiling than Schaefer is. That's how I feel now. We'll see if that changes. I did write on my big board. I said, you know, you might be able to talk me into taking Frundell in the top two. I'm higher on him than Higgins, but I'm not quite there.
But
I don't think it would be insane if you're really high on one of the centers and maybe you're a little down on Schaefer, but I, as of right now, I don't think I could bring myself to do that.
So Scott, how much does that kind of speak to how much stock you put in the NHLE findings where it says that Frundell has the highest rating of any of these draft prospects as far as being an NHL player and NHL star?
I mean, a little bit. Like, I do put some stock in that, but it's just part of the equation. Like, I'm not basing my entire draft off NHLE because it is a formula that has also missed. So, yeah, like, I take that into account, and it's part of why I like Frundell because his resume suggests there's a really good chance he's going to be a very good NHLer. You know, but, yeah, I would go Schaefer there just because I think, to me, him being a legit top pairing defenseman is more likely than any non-Misa center being a legit bona fide first line player.
I think I speak for all of us on this podcast and all Bruins fans listening that the most indisputable best case scenario as far as no controversy pick for the Bruins would be if they got the second pick and someone took Schaefer first and you just take Misa. Is there a world where Don Sweeney drafts Caleb Desnoyer over Michael Misa at two? Honestly, I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him. But if the Bruins pick second and someone takes Schaefer, to me, it's like, all right, game, set, match, best case scenario. As far as like, you know, mitigating risk of the draft pick and hindsight's 2020, it's like, no, you take that guy, done.
Yeah.
All right. Agreed. Well, I feel like we covered a lot of ground today. Good job, guys. Great draft. Everybody did great. I think we're happy. So I hope maybe this gave people hope that even at 5, 6, or 7, there's going to be someone who can come in and help the Bruins. And just the different dynamics at play that would be ahead of them. Who needs centers? Who doesn't need centers? What some of the dynamics are. And we will continue to probably have changing opinions on this as time gets closer, as we read more. We're not going to stop doing our research on these guys because. Yes.
And we're going to have an actual draft lottery to react to because it's coming up on Monday night.
Yep, Monday night. And they haven't announced the time yet exactly as of our recording, but we were guessing anywhere between like 6 and 8 o'clock. Normally before.
Yeah. It'll probably be 15, 20 minutes or a half hour before the first game of the night, whenever that ends up being.
And that's where the real fun begins, because now you can really start to hone in on, all right.
And we'll do this again.
maybe we do a more realistic one, because if the Bruins end up picking 6th or 7th, well, we know they're not getting Schaefer or Misa or, you know, Higgins or Frundell most likely. So you're able to kind of narrow down to, all right, it's probably Desnoyer, O'Brien, Martone territory, maybe something like that. If they win the lottery, then oh boy, then there's a lot of possibilities. Yeah, so that'll be fun. We'll find that out. Monday. Yeah,
Monday. Exciting.
Alrighty, and there's also, by the way, you know, we'll have one more recording this week too, because guys, there is some stuff to talk about. There's the coaching carousel is getting very interesting, and I'm not going to talk about it too much because we're at an hour and a half. But if the Tampa Bay Lightning get defeated by the Panthers and they lose in round one, does John Cooper become available in addition to Mike Sullivan and Peter Laviolette and Rick Tocchet? And it's just, you know,
I think it would be so insane for Tampa to move on from John Cooper. Like,
I couldn't agree more. I don't know who you're going to get that's better for that. For
he's one of the best John Tortorella. Definitely John Tortorella.
Tortorella back to Tampa. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll discuss all that on Friday. Thank you all very much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you soon.